Some of you were around, some of us were not around, but some of you read and know history, and maybe this is a piece of history some of you would know, but probably not for most of us. Anybody know in 1954 what Roger Bannister did? Anybody recognize the name? There we go. Jim knows.
4 minute mile.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 minute mile. He was the first person to ever run a mile in under 4 minutes. For years up until then, athletes and doctors alike said that no human being would be able to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Some of them even claimed that the human body would physically break down under the strain of accomplishing that. And then on May 6, 1954, he crossed the finish line at 3.594 minutes. So just like 0.6 of a second under the 4 minute barrier. But what happened next might be equally or even more interesting. Within a year, dozens of runners began to break the 4 minute mile. So why is that? Possibly because once somebody proved that it was possible, others realized that the barrier had never been physical, perhaps, but maybe more mental. Sometimes Christ's followers live with spiritual barriers that God never created. Right? They're barriers that we have allowed to build up into our lives, into our minds, into our thinking. Like I'm not talented enough. I'm too broken. I don't have enough education. I don't speak well enough. I'm just an ordinary person. God can never use somebody like me. My past hinders my future. But throughout Scripture, God continually chooses the people nobody else would choose. It's the way God operates. He chooses shepherds. He chooses fishermen. He chooses widows and tax collectors and people that stutter. And he chooses people that persecute the church and frightened farmers that are hiding in wine presses. It's 100% true that the world looks for impressive resumes. Right? Like when you apply for jobs, they are looking for the best of the applications. The world looks for the impressive resume, but also true, God looks for surrendered hearts. Gideon saw weakness, but God saw potential. The church in Corinth saw ordinary believers. God saw vessels for his glory moving forward. And maybe today, God wants to remind somebody in this room, somebody watching from home, maybe it's you that God wants to remind that your greatest limitation may actually become the platform for his greatest power and glory being brought to his name. Maybe at times you feel unnoticed. Maybe at times you feel underqualified or you feel weak. But God has always specialized in using people exactly like that. And that's the question we're going to work on this morning as we're in this series of questions we ask is, can God use somebody like me? With my history, with my limitations, can God use me? I think it's a very appropriate Sunday for us to be looking at this particular question, because I think this question relates to people in all age brackets, right? Like, we celebrate the graduation of one of our youth this morning, and those are the questions that we ask ourselves, is, can God use me as a youth? Can God use a child? Can God use us when we're in our 50s, our 70s, our 90s? It's a question that we have. Can God use me with all that I bring, the baggage that I bring? This morning, we're going to see time and time again where God uses people in incredible ways. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who sees beyond appearances. Thank you that you do not measure us by worldly successes, by popularity or power. You look much deeper than that. You see our hearts. Today, Lord God, speak courage into maybe hearts that are a little bit fearful. Speak purpose into discouraged lives. Remind us that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Help us believe that you, Lord God, can still use ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. Open our ears to hear your voice this morning, and open our hearts to obey your calling in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have you turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 12. If you're using one of the church Bibles, under the chair in front of you, it'll be page 174. 174, Judges chapter 6. We're going to pick up at verse 12. Starting at verse 12, it says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord?'" I think it's kind of funny, just on a side note, that like the mannerism of "pardon me." And we see it a couple times in this passage, which is just interesting to me. But so, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." I think the amazing thing about Gideon's story is that God found him while he was hiding, right? Like, Gideon wasn't standing on a battlefield holding a sword looking like strength. He was hiding in fear, threshing wheat in a wine press. Yet God still called him. And that really leads us to our first point this morning. If you're taking notes, number one is, God sees more in us than we see in ourselves. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. In verse 12, it said, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Gideon probably at that moment looked around him and thought, who is this person talking to? Mighty warrior? Like, that can't be me. He didn't feel mighty. Gideon didn't feel brave. He certainly didn't feel ready. Yet God spoke to Gideon based on who he could become through God's power, not who he currently appeared to be. That's how our God works. When Samuel looked at David's brothers, he saw strength and appearance. But God said in 1 Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God sees future faithfulness inside present weakness. Some of us here today are trapped by the labels that we've carried along in our lives for years, right? Maybe somebody's told you that you're not good enough, that you're a failure. Maybe it's these labels of anxiety, you're anxious, you're addicted, you have the label of being divorced or uneducated or too old or too young, or you're just a sinner. But God speaks differently than the world speaks. Here is how that works. See, the enemy names your past. God names your purpose. There's an interesting study from Stanford University about the power of identity and expectation. And researchers discovered that people often rise or fall based on what they believe about themselves. In other words, expectation shapes behavior. Some of the greatest athletes in the world talk about envisioning, right? Envisioning their next goal, their next milestone. Like looking forward and seeing themselves succeed at it. And they do this before they actually accomplish it. Imagine how powerful it is when the creator of the universe speaks identity over your life. Gideon heard mighty warrior. Simon, he heard Peter the rock. Abram heard Abraham, father of the nations. Throughout Scripture, we see that God often calls us according to his plan before we ever see the evidence ourselves. It's like a sculptor. A sculptor was once asked about how he could carve such beautiful horses out of blocks of marble. And he replied, I simply chip away everything that does not belong. That's what God does with us. He sees what we cannot yet see. He shapes what we cannot yet imagine. Maybe today God is speaking potential over your life while you are still staring at your limitations. You may feel ordinary, but God sees purpose inside of you. God knows the potential of your life. Even after God called Gideon a mighty warrior, right? Gideon still struggled with insecurity. And that really leads us to the second truth this morning, and that is God's presence matters more than our ability. God's presence matters more than our ability. In verse 15 and 16 of Judges chapter 6 that we read, it says, pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manhasha, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Notice something important. God never argued with Gideon about his weaknesses. He didn't say, "Oh no, Gideon, like you are amazing." He didn't try to change his mind on his weaknesses. He didn't say, "You are secretly so strong, Gideon." No, instead, God gave him something even better. He said, "My presence will go with you." The answer to Gideon's insecurity was not self-confidence, wasn't trying to boost his self-confidence. It was God-confidence. That's way better. We live in a culture that's obsessed with self-help and self-reliance, right? Like, bookshelves are full of messages telling us how we should believe in ourselves and how we better ourselves. And not that all that is bad. Don't hear me say that this morning. But in the United States, do you realize that there are over 15,000 books published yearly on self-help? And in the world, there's 30 to 50,000 books published yearly on self-help. But Christianity, it teaches us something even deeper. Believe in the God who is with you. Moses felt inadequate. Jeremiah said he was too young. Paul carried weakness and suffering. Yet God repeatedly used people he knew that they could not succeed without him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." It does not say God's power works best through our perfection. It doesn't say that. It says his power works through weakness. Sometimes weakness becomes the very stage where God displays his greatest glory. Corrie Ten Boom, who survived the Holocaust, later traveled the world preaching forgiveness, she once said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." She understood weakness. She understood fear, yet she also understood the sustaining presence of God. Statistics show that nearly 70% of people struggle with what's called imposter syndrome at some point in their life. The fear that they are inadequate or unqualified. I'm going to guess that man, to me 70% seems low. Like, I talk to a lot of people, and I hear a lot of people's stories, and I hear a lot of, especially at times where people are feeling inadequate or underqualified for something that they're facing in life. And it seems to me like it happens to a lot of us. Even some of the most successful leaders that we see battle feelings of insufficiency. Gideon did. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and that's something you're struggling with. But God is not asking you to carry an assignment alone. He's asking you to trust his presence. You don't have to be enough by yourself. God already is. Once Gideon learned that God's presence was enough, he began to move forward in faith. And that points us really to the next truth that we're going to look at, that God often uses weakness to display his glory. For this, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It's going to be page 807. First Corinthians 1, starting verse 27, it says, But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. Paul reminds the Corinthian church that God intentionally chooses unlikely people. God does this because when impossible things happen through ordinary people, everybody knows that God deserves the credit. Like, what a witness that is for Jesus. If God only used the naturally gifted, the talented, the most talented, the wealthy, the most influential, people might assume success came from human ability alone. But God uses the ordinary. When God uses people that we might even look at and say are a little bit weak, the spotlight shifts upward. When God moves through weakness, the attention turns away from people and towards him. This is why Gideon's story becomes so remarkable later in Judges. God actually reduced Gideon's army, right, from like 32,000 men down to 300. Why would God shrink the army before battle? Judges 7:2 gives us the answer. It says, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. It's a God thing. It becomes very clear that it's a God thing. Sometimes God removes, I think, human advantage so divine power becomes unmistakable. Some people spend their lives trying to hide their weaknesses. Some of us spend too much of our time in life trying to hide our weaknesses, right? Society encourages this. But sometimes the very thing that we wish God would remove, those weaknesses, those shortcomings, becomes the thing that he uses most powerfully in his kingdom. Your pain may become your ministry. The hardships that you've walked through and faced may become a part of your ministry. Your struggles may become your testimony. Your weaknesses may become your witness of a God that is amazing. I don't know how to say this guy's last name. Somebody in here well, though, I'm sure of it. Nick Voracek? Nobody knows how to say it. Okay, it's Nick Voracek then is what we're going with. He was born, and I'm going to guess that you've seen videos of him, and this will remind you of that. He was born without arms and legs. And as a child, he battled depression and hopelessness because of the way he was born with his limitations that he had. Yet today, Nick travels the world preaching the gospel to millions of people. What many would call incredible limitations became a platform for God's glory to shine. That is how God works. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute, right? The cross itself looked like weakness. Yet through the cross came what? Salvation. The tomb looked final, yet resurrection came 3 days later. Hear me on this. Never underestimate what God can do through surrendered weakness. And when we realize that God uses ordinary weakness for extraordinary purposes, it changes how we live every single day of our lives. Number four, this last truth we're going to look at is faithfulness in ordinary moments opens the door for extraordinary purpose. And we're back to the book of Judges, chapter 6. I want to just relook at verse 14 where it says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" Like, am I not with you? God did not tell Gideon to wait until he felt fearless, till he felt like he was at a better place to move forward. He told him to go with the strength that he already had. It's important because many people, I think, delay while they're waiting to feel ready. But readiness rarely comes before obedience. Faith often grows while we're walking. Gideon's first assignment was not leading a massive army. It started with small acts of obedience. The Christian life is often built in ordinary moments. Small acts of obedience, right? Like showing kindness, praying faithfully, serving consistently, giving generously, forgiving somebody, sharing our testimonies, encouraging a hurting person. Small acts become sacred when surrendered to God. Again, research from Harvard Business Review found that progress in meaningful small actions it dramatically increases motivation and purpose. So when we do small actions, it dramatically increases the motivation and purpose in our lives. Those small, faithful steps shape larger outcomes over time. And that's true spiritually as well. God usually builds great faith through daily obedience. When we choose day in and day out to be obedient to Him. I think the truth is that the kingdom of God, oftentimes, it advances very quietly. Just one prayer, one conversation, one act of obedience at a time. None of us need some giant platform to be used by God. He simply needs us to be available and obedient. God is not looking for perfection. He is looking for willingness. Hear me on that. God is not looking for perfection. He is looking for your and my willingness. And when ordinary people become willing vessels in God's hands, amazing things happen. So let me kind of wrap things up with a question. What excuse have you been giving God? Hey, we've talked about a few of these earlier on in the message. Maybe it's I'm too weak or I'm too broken. I'm just too ordinary. I don't know enough. I'm afraid. I have stuff in my past. I'm too young. I'm way too old. Gideon said those kind of things. Yet God still used him because the story was never really about Gideon's strength. It was about God's faithfulness. And the same is true for you. The God who called Gideon still calls people today. The God who empowered weak believers in Corinth still empowers his church today. The God who used fishermen and shepherds and outcasts still delights in using ordinary people today. You may not feel qualified, but let me tell you, God's presence is enough. You may feel weak, but let me tell you, His strength is greater than your weakness. You may feel unnoticed, but let me tell you as well, heaven sees you. God sees you. And God desires nothing less than to use you. So stop waiting until you feel impressive. Stop believing God only uses super Christians or whatever we call them, right? We've got to stop hiding in the wine press like Gideon. Take the next step. Offer God your availability. Trust His presence. Walk in obedience to Him. And watch what God can do through someone who finally says, Lord, here I am. I guarantee you, if those words come off your lips to God and you are obedient moving forward, you are going to see God use you in ways that you have never even dreamt of. Because that's how God works. It's how God works. So I challenge you as you leave today to think about this, to process this, and to ask yourself that really big question, am I ever willing to say, Lord, here I am, with sincerity? And then when God leads in a direction, even if you don't feel super qualified for it, are you willing to walk down the path and trust that He is before you, beside you, and behind you? Heavenly Father, thank You that You use ordinary people like us. Thank You that our weakness does not disqualify us from Your love or from Your calling. Help us, Lord God, to stop focusing on what we lack, and to start trusting You fully. Fill us with courage to obey You in the big moments, but also in the small moments in life. Remind us daily that Your presence is enough, Lord God. I pray that You use our lives to bring You glory. And as a result of that, that we can be a witness, a testimony to who You are. May everything that we do point people to You, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.